Welcome to the official CCAF podcast. For more than 20 years, the Small and Emerging Contractors Advisory Forum has been helping small and emerging government contracting businesses scale to their fullest potential. On this podcast, we'll be interviewing key government leaders and subject matter experts to get a better understanding of GovCon customers and trends in the industry. We at CCAF believe there's space for everyone to succeed. Now, on to today's episode.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the CCAF podcast. It's a podcast series presented by the Small Emerging Contract Advisory Forum. I'm Frank Sturrock, a member of the CCAF Board of Directors. I'm the CEO of a government contracting small business called Compendium Federal Technology. Today, we're going to talk to a key member of the George Mason University's Baroni Center for Government Contracting about the 2023 Small Business Summit taking place on 7 September at the Army Navy Country Club in Arlington, Virginia. For those of you that may not know, for more than 20 years, the Small and Emerging Contractors Advisory Forum, known as CCAF, has empowered government contractors like you to scale and succeed. Through CCAF's connections, events, education, tools, and resources, you stay on top of industry trends, win government contracts, and experience exponential growth. As I said, today we're meeting with Emily Murphy from the Baroni Center for Government Contracting to talk about this Small Business Government Contracting Summit that's coming up. Good afternoon, Emily. How are you doing?
I'm well, Frank. It's good to be here with you.
Awesome. This is actually a great opportunity for us as a CCAF to team and partner with the Baroni Center. You guys have a lot of really heavy hitters from government contracting. You do the research and the policy, and then it really does help our small business, you know, executives and owners to understand this aspect of it. And then I think what we can kind of bring to the table is a little bit of this is how we execute within this policy realm, right? To actually turn a profit and grow a business. So I think it's a great partnership. I'm really excited about next week's event.
Well, so am I. And I think we've got a great lineup of panelists. So I'm very excited about it.
Great. So tell us about yourself specifically, you know, about your experience and expertise in government contracting.
So I fell in love with and fell into government contracting shortly after I graduated from college. I was working on the Hill. I was the junior staffer, hired junior staffers, get assigned the issues no one else wants to work on. So I got assigned government contracting. This was back in the mid-90s. And I loved it because it was a way you could make a difference. You could get the government what it needed to get their job done, but you could also help small businesses. You could look at the industrial-based policy. Absolutely adored it. Went on to become a government contracts lawyer. Spent 9 years working on the Hill, both for the House Small Business Committee, the House Armed Services Committee, worked at SBA. Worked at GSA during the Bush administration, went in-house with a tech startup company and did operations for them for 5 years. And most recently, I was the GSA administrator. So ran GSA from 2017 to 2021.
Fantastic. So tell us about your upcoming panel on small business goals, you know, an overview really quickly.
Oh, sure. We're looking at why, with the government's focus on goals, government's doing a really great job of meeting its small business goals. But if you look at the outcome, we're still losing small businesses in our industrial base. The number has fallen dramatically over the last 10 years, and it's continuing to fall. And as you look at the increased focus on increasing SDB goals and other types of goals, it's getting more dollars to go to certain firms, but we're not actually staunching that loss of government contractors. So we're still seeing far fewer small businesses participating than we did last year or the year before or 10 years ago. So the question then becomes, are we goaling the right things? Are dollars all that matter? Or are there other things we should be looking at? And we've got a great panel of people. We've got Dave Basigo from the Department of Defense, who I've done a panel with before, and he's so insightful on things like rapid innovation and the SBIR program and how to bring in like cutting edge tech firms. And then we've got Aaron Kelly from Upslope Advisors, who's going to be able to talk to us about professional services and how that fits together. And then Andrew Pfister from Rockamar, who I think is going to be able to also add some color to the discussion and talk about how does this meet the road for small businesses? What does it actually mean? And what kind of policy should we be embracing if we want a healthy small business industrial base?
Great. I understand you're also going to put out a paper here ahead of that.
And just did.
Yeah, good. So can you just give a little quick snippet of what that's about?
So The Biden administration made a really interesting decision a few years ago to administratively increase the small disadvantaged business goals. And I wanted to see what the results of those goals would be. Last spring from the Naval Postgraduate School, I did some research and put out a paper, got some comments back and revised it, looking at how those increased goals have affected not just small disadvantaged businesses, but what, you know, different types of small disadvantaged businesses, and then how it's also affected small businesses, women-owned small businesses, service-disabled veteran-owned small businesses, and hub-zone businesses. So what the interplay has been there, and frankly, what it's meant in terms of NAICS codes and industries, and how that's all played out to see whether or not we were actually achieving the policy objectives that were set out when the policies were announced. And what I basically found was that the dollars to SDBs are increasing and they continue to increase, but we aren't stopping that loss of small disadvantaged businesses. We have a lot of challenges around who is a small disadvantaged business, but we're also finding that it in some ways harms other categories underrepresented businesses like women-owned small businesses, service-disabled veteran-owned small businesses, hub-zone businesses, without actually achieving that first objective of increasing the number of SDBs that are actually in the marketplace. And then there are other questions about whether or not we actually have identified who's really getting the dollars, because it's a self-certification program unless you're in the 8A program. So there, you know, how do we know that the dollars are actually going to the companies that the administration intended them to go to? So it was sort of exploring those ideas. The paper is available through the Baroni Center at George Mason, if anyone's interested in taking a look at it.
Awesome. I look forward to taking a read of that and then having some discussion, you know, around some of the things that you found and maybe even talk. I think what, you know, at least our members might be interested in, and most of the small business and GovCon community would be, okay, so how do you leverage the rules that are out there so that you can grow your business? That's one thing. And then maybe there should be some input on how some goals could actually grow business, like maybe base it off of number of prime contracts versus number of dollars or something like that, right?
Or what I've always been curious about is, can we look at NAICS codes or even subsectors of NAICS codes? If we're really trying to drive an industrial base, are all small business dollars created equal? Or do we want small businesses to come in areas where we've got challenges? Do we want to encourage innovative companies, professional service companies, those who are sort of on the cutting edge or who provide unique value to the government? Or are all small business dollars exactly equal? And I'd posit that what we're learning over the years is that not every dollar is created equal in terms of its effect on the industrial base.
No, I agree. That's a whole nother conversation. I look forward to hearing you guys talk about it.
It's going to be a fun conversation.
Yeah, it'll be good. So besides that, you know, what we're talking about here, are there any other couple of topics, or is it just really going to be centered on that? Are there any other hot topics that you may want to discuss?
Well, I suspect that given what's going on in the 8A program right now, in that intersection of goaling, and how that's going to play out in terms of the SDB goals and the small business goals overall, especially with these changes in the 8A program coming right at the end of the fiscal year, that'll probably be a topic as well. So what companies should be looking out for? SBA just came out with new guidance. And I think that on Monday that they were expecting every small business to receive communication from SBA telling them what, you know, what to expect, or every 8A company to what to expect and what to do going forward. So I think that's something we'll end up talking about. It wasn't what we'd foreseen, because I think when we started planning this panel, we hadn't even had the ultimate decision decided, but I think that'll end up becoming part of it. But also just looking at how do we recruit new small businesses? How do we make the ecosphere easier for small businesses to compete? Because any small business, I'm sure you can attest to this, the government will kill you with bureaucracy. And it becomes a business to comply with the government's regulations and rules in order to do the business that you're hired to do. So how do we actually make that easier for small businesses or for all businesses?
No, that'd be great. I can't wait to hear it. Look forward to the panel discussion, and really appreciate your time this afternoon.
Getting
the word out for everybody that's listening here right now. This will be obviously posted on the CCAF website. There'll also be a link on there if you want to get to Emily's paper prior to the conference, or even after the conference, you want to read it. We'll have a link straight to the Baroni Center to that paper so that you can read it. So thanks again, Emily, for being with us this afternoon. Look forward to the conference next week.
Thanks so much for having me, Frank. I'm really looking forward to the conference, and it'll be good to be with you there next week.
Great. Thanks. All right. Thanks very much. Thanks for listening. Please visit the CCAF website for all upcoming events and to listen to this interview. This concludes today's podcast.
Thanks for listening to the official CCAF podcast. To join our tight-knit community, access resources, attend events, and network with leaders, become a CCAF member by visiting ccaf.org/CCAF membership. Have a great day.